ain't a song for the broken hearted. Silent prayer for the faith departed. I ain't gonna be just a face in the crowd. You're gonna hear my voice, I'll shout it out loud. It's my life, and it's now or never. Ain't gonna live forever. I just wanna live while I'm alive. It's my life, my heart's an open highway. Frank said,
leaning toward wisdom. Episode 40, 41. Should you live and work like you're a reality TV star?
This is for the ones who stood their ground. Tommy and Gina who never backed down. Tomorrow's getting harder, make no mistake. Luck ain't enough, you gotta make your own breaks. It's my life, and it's now or never. Ain't gonna live forever.
He is Paul Anka. And it's a very unique record that was released in 2005. My heart's an open highway. Titled Rock Swings. And this song is It's My Life. It's a Paul Anka, it's Paul Anka's take on a bunch of rock songs, and just a really, really captivating record. And of course, I'm going to tell you, yes, you should buy it. I mean, every song on it is just terrific. Really unique. Hey, welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at Leaning Toward Wisdom. Find the show notes for today's episode at leaningtowardwisdom.com. Plug in the number 4041. There's in the podcasting world, there's a number of people that talk about, you know, best practices and people should do this and people should do that. You should assume that there's new people that are listening to your show every week. And a lot of people will recommend that you tell people what they can expect and what the show is about, because you just never know when very new listeners or brand new listeners are coming into the space. And I have some thoughts about it, but I want to play you a clip. This is from a podcast called Sawbones. And well, it's just a great introduction, I thought.
Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
I love it. It's the greatest introduction of a podcast ever. Now, I'm a person that doesn't necessarily believe that you have to put an intro to a podcast. I think a lot of people waste a lot of time at the beginning of a podcast telling you, here's who we are, here's what we do. I don't know. Here's my notion. As public speakers, there are public speakers who tend to repeat themselves. And I have challenged speakers throughout the years. When you do that, you necessarily help the audience grow lax. You help them become lazy, because they instinctively learn very quickly, I don't need to pay attention because he's going to say it again and again and again. And so they tune out. And I think in similar fashion, podcasters that tend to wax on at the beginning of a show, here's who I am, here's what I'm about, you know, go to the website, figure it out. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what it's about. Come on. Hello. It's leaningtowardwisdom.com. All you need to know. Okay. On with the show, right? Hey, unless you are a professional bike rider or skater, skateboarder, You probably don't shoot video of yourself while you're working, while you're living. Now, I have long believed in the power of show and tell. In fact, I did an episode. It was over at the other website. Yes, you can find links to all this over at the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. It was something that I learned in grade school. In fact, I remember getting in trouble. I think it was first grade. I don't think it was kindergarten. I'm pretty sure it was first grade. And we lived on some acreage, and we had a neighbor, and he had a riding lawnmower, and he would ride around on his riding lawnmower drinking beer. Now, this was back in, you know, I was, like I said, this is early 60s. This is the early 60s, right? So a different time, different era. Pretty scandalous kind of a thing, you know, riding around your riding lawnmower, drinking beer. And of course, we did not drink beer, and we were very religious people and came from a very strict background. And I continue to have a very strict, not only background, but present and foreground. And I just thought it was quite the thing. Well, I stood up in show and tell, and my show and tell, I don't know that I had anything to show, but boy, I had plenty to tell. And I ratted out our neighbor, called him by name, much to the chagrin of my mother. I guess the teacher must have told my mom, and my mom was just mortified that I had stood up before the whole class and announced to them that the neighbor, not only did he ride his riding lawnmower and drink beer, but he didn't have a shirt on while he did it. I mean, it was, you can just get no more scandalous than that. To a first grader. But you can scan through some YouTube channels and you can find people vlogging. You heard this term, vlogging. It's video blogging. And they just vlog their daily lives. They just take a camera around. And I think, how cumbersome must that be? You know, every restaurant you go to, all the stuff that you do. And as YouTube partners, many of these people are earning monthly incomes by living a slightly, well, some perhaps a more flagrantly larger life, and they capture it all on video. Well, most of us aren't living our lives that way. You think reality TV is a pretty recent invention, don't you? But you would be wrong, because according to an article in the Writers Guild of America, quote, Alan Funt, with his 1948 TV series, Candid Camera, is often credited as reality TV's first practitioner. In fact, he started a year earlier with Candid Microphone on radio. Reality TV shows like Deadliest Catch, Dirty Work, and, there's just a host of other, HGTV shows on home improvement. Those are reality shows, and they have attracted millions of faithful followers. And you really can't think about reality TV without thinking about those contest shows, you know, spearheaded by American Idol and now today NBC's The Voice. This past week, nothing trumped the publicity given to Kim Kardashian's pornographic photos in a magazine in a campaign that was called Break the Internet. Now, there is no denying her popularity. And according to an article written by Amanda Fortini, she says, and she writes, quote, if you know nothing else about Kim Kardashian, you know that she is very, very famous. Some would say that's all you need to know. At press time, she has 25 million Twitter followers, about a million less than Oprah Winfrey, and nearly 5 million more than CNN Breaking News. Her Instagram account, where she is a prolific purveyor of selfies, is the site's third most popular. You can't walk through a supermarket without glimpsing her on a multitude of tabloids whose headlines holler about her relationships, her parenting style, and the vicissitudes of her ample curves. But she has also graced the covers of highbrow fashion Bibles like W and Vogue with her now husband, Kanye West. She appears on the ladder above the hashtag world's most talked about couple, creating a furor that made it perhaps the world's most controversial cover hashtag. Now, Ms. Fortini spent time with Kardashian for the magazine that published the photos. And no, I'm not going to link to it in the show notes. It's easy enough for you to find without me contributing to the buzz. And as Matt Walsh posted something about it on his Facebook early last Thursday, he said, quote, "I'd just like to point out that the Europeans landed on a comet yesterday, and yet still the only thing I'm seeing on Facebook is Kim Kardashian's butt. They landed a comet, everyone. A comet. The thing is 300 million miles away, traveling over 40,000 miles an hour. They put a probe right down on top of it. This is unbelievable, phenomenal, history-making. But our nation is entirely too fascinated with some lady's backside to even notice. Lord, help us. The easy thing here is to call this country stupid, like the Obamacare architect said. That's too convenient, though. We aren't stupid. We're just bored, I think. Immature. We're like spoiled 12-year-olds in need of constant amusement and stimulation, too shallow to recognize real beauty, too jaded to be amazed by what is truly amazing. Let's take a step back, folks. There's some really incredibly," he must mean incredible, "there are some really incredible things happening in the universe, and none of it has to do with a reality TV star's pornographic publicity stunt. Hear, hear." But I'm a fan of Matt Walsh. In case you've been living under a rock and you hadn't heard, last Wednesday, the European Space Agency landed a probe on a comet. Matt's right. Happened the same day that the Kim K photo buzz hit. Yeah, society gave a lot more attention to Kim K than this feat of science. But it only proves how voyeuristic people can be, and maybe point us towards some things that we can learn about behaving, well, or maybe misbehaving, like we're a reality TV star. What if a camera crew followed you around all day, every work day? Well, what if they followed you around all day, every day? I say work day. I mean, true confession, the Million Dollar Listing series, New York and LA, they're both favorites of mine, and those shows are appropriately titled. They're about real estate brokers who specialize in ultra-high-end properties in two of the wealthiest cities on the planet. And no, I don't think the shows are all that realistic because I happen to know a thing or two about the real estate industry, primarily because my father was in it for a long, long time, because there's a lot of waiting around. There's a lot of long hours, and there's a lot of rejection in the real estate game. But producers and writers, they can spice things up quite nicely, I think. Both shows do give viewers a taste of how many phone calls and I guess how many hours are required for success in real estate, especially in those two towns. But you know, nobody would watch if we saw all the preparation and all the chasing and all the waiting. There is a genre of reality shows, though, that I'm particularly fond of. The business intervention shows. Now, being a business guy, these are intriguing to me. Restaurant Impossible, Hotel Impossible, and The Profit, those are three that I have pretty high regard for. Now, for me, Marcus Lemonis he's top drawer, and I'm probably butchering his last name. He is the host of NBC's The Profit, and he is owner of the national company Camping World. Now, Marcus is a cut-to-the-chase guy, and he famously focuses on people, processes, and product. And as a guy myself who has run companies since my early 20s, I completely relate to how Marcus operates. And so the episodes are always fascinating to me because business owners are, well, they're the wild card in all of this. And I'm mostly shocked that some of these people behave so poorly with sound and cameras rolling. And signing a release. Hey, yeah, sure, put this out there. I mean, even if I do look like a jerk. The last episode involved a little coffee company, and they had two very contentious owners, a man and a woman. And the normally calm, deliberate Marcus, he'd had enough. And I was saying to myself when I watched it, about time. About time. In fact, there is an outtake that you can see on their website. Didn't make the show, but I went over and looked because you kind of have to go to the website to try to see if you want to learn any more backstory or anything else that may have happened since the program aired, which is a good tactic, drive you to the website. Well, Marcus decided in this unreleased part of the show, he decided before he walked out, he was just going to offer to buy the company because he confessed that he really wanted to be in the coffee business.
My life's too short. I don't need this drama. So you have to decide. Check for $322,000 or I go open up in town and kick your ass.
I can't give back 2 years of my life for what I put into this business.
John, you've been trying to sell the place.
I've been wanting to get rid of her.
I know, but you were going to sell the place. You met with the broker.
I did meet with
the
broker. I'm not lying. I did meet with the broker.
Okay, what were you doing it for?
To get information.
About selling the business.
Yes, about value.
Okay, sell the business. Sell it. I'll pay you for it. And I'll set you free. This is the way to live. I'm going to be in the coffee business, regardless. While this is really beautiful, it's not that hard. Because the one thing I have that you don't have is distribution.
Right.
I don't want to be in this position. What do you want to do?
I don't want to sell.
I have my checkbook.
Well, I don't want to sell.
Okay, great. Because I'm telling you right now, I'm going to go out of my way. And I don't do this normally. I'm really a pretty calm and nice guy. I'm going to go out of my way to kick your ass in business.
I'm going to go out of my way. I haven't computed it, but anecdotally, it appears that most of the business owners that Marcus encounters, they're just inept at the basics of business. And quite a few of them are just downright dishonest. Almost all of them are highly emotional to their own detriment. You know, a woman operating a salon business with 4 locations, doing about $4 million annually. She'd been burned by a previous business partner. And even though it had been 2 years since he had burned her, she just seems to be stuck in her pain. When Marcus gets her in a car and as they're taking a drive, he gave her some very sage advice.
Once we develop Unique's product line, we're going to try to sell it to every salon in the local area. Carolyn's ex-partner, Joe, has about 20 salons. The question is Carolyn ready and able to move forward?
Your ex-partner, Joe, do you think he runs a decent operation?
The man has been the bane of my existence for the last 2 years. There's a lot of hurt and pain involved, and I don't know why you're bringing him up, so I wish you would get to the point.
I mean, he has 20 salons, and I want to utilize whatever resources he has for our benefit. This all comes back to business. You got to have your game plan, and it cannot be dictated or affected by anybody because you start to make decisions that are based on emotion and not on dollars or logic. Take your emotion out of it. Be a smart businesswoman that I know you are. I'm requiring it.
You gotta have a game plan that can't be affected or impacted by anybody else. Now, Marcus was not telling this business owner that she was in complete control. Rather, he was telling her that she needed to move forward in a positive way where her previous partner didn't affect her. She needed to make her decisions based on what was best for her and her business, no matter what. Now, this is where the whole reality TV star business can really hit a wall. I mean, we can and often do things that keep up a facade. One of the more common occurrences on The Profit is the business owner who either doesn't know the vital numbers of their business or, well, they lie. They just lie to Marcus, hoping that he won't find out. And he always does. He always finds out eventually. I mean, he's going to dig enough and ask enough questions, and eventually he will find out. In our own reality TV series, yeah, the one that nobody's filming or broadcasting, we're either lying to ourselves and others or we're being open. and honest and, dare I say it, transparent. Man, we hear that last term, transparency. We hear that a lot these days. And what exactly does that mean? Well, it means candid. It means being open. Jeffrey Pfeiffer is Thomas D. D. the second, professor of organizational behavior at Stanford's Graduate School of Business. He's also an author of a favorite book of mine, The Knowing-Doing Gap, published in 2000. He wrote a piece for Fortune called Openness and Transparency Will Not Solve Our Problems. In that article, he argues that the internet hasn't changed everything, like some people say. Instead, in spite of social media and in spite of openness, he puts forth the notion that these things won't keep dishonesty at bay, and it won't even necessarily make sure that people are informed. Now, he's not saying that openness and transparency are bad. I understand him in that article, and there's a link to this in the show notes, episode 40, 41. I understand him to say that they're just not the cure for all that ails us, because as with most things, there's more to it. Dr. Henry Cloud, he's an author and a leadership expert. He posted on his Facebook, he posted this a few days ago, quote, over 80% of the leaders I have surveyed have said they have no one they can be totally transparent with. Make sure you are in the other 20%. Okay, leaders necessarily are unable to reveal everything they know and everything they feel. It's the reason we have that cliche. It's lonely at the top because, well, it is. And yet on these reality TV shows, we see people who seem to unbridle the most vile behavior possible. Or maybe producers are fostering that behavior, failing to reveal to us the true backstory behind much of what we see. Now, of course, I could argue that a trailer manufacturer or a coffee company that appeared on Marcus's show, they're not really benefited. In fact, they're not benefited in the least by openly shouting and cussing and disrespecting their partners with cameras rolling, knowing full well that a global audience is going to have access to see them behaving like, jerks or something worse. I mean, it could be that we're seeing the real people. It could be that that is who they are, that they are being transparent. But again, the transparency is not paying off. It ain't working for them. I mean, if you're a jerk, do you really want the whole world to know you're a jerk? If you're a bigot, do you want the whole world to know you're a bigot? Well, it's evident of why the cameras are there in the first place. Because these are businesses on Marcus's show. These are businesses in trouble. And more than that, these are lives in trouble. Dysfunctional daily behaviors that are playing out on our flat panels or our mobile devices. I don't suppose this past week was much different than any other week in the online world. We see people living life in their own reality TV show, sans the TV, blog posts written, podcasts recorded, photos shared. I mean, a lot of people, one of the talk radio guys here in Dallas, they were last week, the Cowboys played in London, and the morning team of the sports talk station that I listen to, they went over to London and they broadcast from London all week long. And of course they joke a lot about social media, and they kind of have this running gag between them of how many Twitter followers they have. And one of the guys was like, I'm going to gram the blankety blank out of this, out of this trip, meaning Instagram, I'm gramming. Welcome to the world. We're living in a world of people are gramming. They're gramming their world. Two videos this past week went viral. Both of them, I think, proving to us the power of living as though we are a reality TV star, because, well, you just never know what might happen. And in fact, before this week, there was a video that was shot at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. Some jack wagon guy, drunk, apparently, getting into a bit of a shouting, cussing match and fisticuffs, and standers-by decided to wrestle him to the ground, and he was arrested. You know, it went viral. Somebody was there with a phone shooting the whole thing. But this week, there were two videos. There were two videos, and I'm going to embed both of these at the website. So if you want to see them, just go over to leaningtowardwisdom.com. Again, plug in the search this website. Plug into that box the number 4041, and you can hit play and see them both. One really funny, a drive-through, Starbucks drive-through. It's two little kids in the back seat. Mom and dad are in the front seat, and dad pulls up to the Starbucks, and he does a terrific Sling Blade impression, completely embarrassing his wife, you know, and kudos to him. I mean, this thing's a couple of minutes, you know, he's ordering, trying to order. Of course, he had to ask him if they had French fried potatoes, but funny. I don't know how many views it's got. It's hundreds of thousands. The other video is a major contrast to that one, though. And let me simply read the description that was posted at YouTube, because this will tell you the story. Chris Pico singing Blackbird to his son, Lennon James Pico, who was delivered by emergency C-section at 24 weeks, when Chris's wife, Ashley, unexpectedly and tragically passed away in her sleep. Lennon's lack of movement and brain activity was a constant concern for the doctors and nurses at Loma Linda University Hospital, where he received the absolute best care available. During the pregnancy, Ashley would often feel Lennon moving to music, so Chris asked if he could bring his guitar into the ICU and play for Lennon, which he did for several hours during the last days of Lennon's precious life. One day after filming this, that is, this YouTube video, Lennon went to sleep in his daddy's arms. For more information, by the way, you can visit picomemorial.com, and then there is a link that is in the YouTube description, and I'm going to embed that here in the show notes as well, a memorial fund to raise money to help defray the medical expenses and whatnot. And then there is this video of dad singing Blackbird with guitar in hand to this poor child who soon passes. How open, how transparent do you want to get? I mean, for some, it's very hard. For others, like Kim Kardashian, it's a career. It's money. It's fame. It's fortune. I've gone on record saying kudos to her for knowing how to leverage celebrity. That doesn't mean I respect her or how she behaves. I simply acknowledge her ability to work the system of celebrity and fame to her highest advantage. And meanwhile, as of this recording, Chris Pico, he lost his wife of 7 years and his newborn son, all in one fell swoop. With 10 days to go, the memorial fund put in place to help raise money to defray medical bills has raised $76,479 of a $50,000 goal. Proof positive that people are touched and they're willing to help this young man. He's 30 years old. I admit it. When I first watched Chris play that song to his dying son, I thought about my own son's birth over 34 years ago, and I remember how terrified I was at the prospect of something going wrong with my wife or with him. And I thought of my wife of almost 37 years, 30 more years together, still counting, thank the Lord, 30 more years together with the love of my life, than what Chris had with his beloved Ashley. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Sound of instruments in the hospital, sound of text message coming through the phone that was recording the video. Reality doesn't always play out as we hoped. This Is Your Life was a radio and TV series in the late 50s and early 60s. I think it ended in like 61 or 62. It was sort of like reality TV because the stories were biographical and they were true. Ralph Edwards was the host. Not Michael Hyatt, who now has a podcast by that same name. I'm going to put a link to an episode that is from 1956 with Lou Costello to give you some clue. It's a YouTube video. He of Abbott and Costello fame. When I was very young, I remember seeing reruns of this show. And I know it seems hokey by today's standards, and it is, but as a very little boy, I was fascinated to hear the story of these people's lives and to see people, surprise them on the show. They would bring back, you know, high school teachers and things of that nature. And, of course, the subjects of the show, they were obviously all celebrities. And so life appeared to turn out mostly well for the people that appeared on the show. But every single episode was filled with stories of early struggles and early trials in these people's lives. If such a show existed today, if there was a show on TV, This Is Your Life, and the host came up to you and surprised you as they did the guests way back then, if they surprised you with the words, they would call out your name and say, This Is Your Life. And of course, everybody knew the show and knew what that show would do. What would that show look like if it was about you? Sadly, if a TV crew were to approach Chris Pico right now and say, Chris, this is your life, it would be a tearful and it would be a sorrow-filled show. He's not alone. I mean, lots of people are suffering. Many people are disappointed with how things are turning out. And for some, it's just a moment in time. For others, it's a sustained, lifelong tribulation. This isn't about insulating ourselves from problems. That's impossible. You're going to have hardships. You're going to have disappointments. And it's not about pretending to be something that you're not. Well, not for most of us anyway. Of Kim Kardashian, Ms. Fortini continues in her article, quote, "The rap on Kim Kardashian is that she has done nothing to merit her fame. But the longer I steep myself in the ambience of her pleasantly languid manner and hologram-perfect looks, the more facile this charge begins to seem. Of course, she has cannily leveraged that fame to build, with her sisters, a beauty industrial complex, which includes a clothing line, a makeup line, a line of tanning products, and 7 perfumes. A collection of hair care implements and styling products will debut in the spring. Her mobile app, Kim Kardashian Hollywood, in which players climb their way to A-list status under Kardashian's tutelage, has earned over $43 million since its June debut." The article ends like this, quote, "We're accustomed to our performers having onstage and backstage registers, but for her, there is no division between the two. That is indeed the definition of a reality star. She's not performing, that is. at least not visibly. She is Bean, and Bean is her act. Her appeal derives from her uncanny consistency, as does that of her show. It's relaxing to watch the sisters sprawl on each other's beds and talk about nothing, to see them discuss constipation cures or their preferred way to eat Nello wafers, like Warhol's screen test. Keeping Up with the Kardashians has a disarming purity. It invites us to glory in its stars' mundanity, which permits us to enjoy our own. Are we voyeurs because we want to see how grand it must be to be that person who is having crazy success while we struggle? Are we voyeurs because we want to see the despair of others so our own is diminished? Are we sharing too much information? Am I better for knowing that Chris lost his wife and newborn son this week and for seeing him sing to his dying son? Yes. Yes to all of the above. Is there any going back? No. Once you squeeze the tube of toothpaste, it's out. There's no putting it back. You'd best grab your toothbrush. Start brushing.
When your day is long and the night is yours alone. When you think you've had enough of this life, hang on. Don't let yourself go. Cause everybody cries. And everybody hurts sometimes. When your day is night alone.
Indeed, everybody does hurt. Sometimes.
And
some people hurt.
Like
a lot of the time. Should you live and work like you're a reality TV star? Yeah, probably. You know, what does that mean? It means that you're always influencing somebody. It means that somebody's always watching. It means that, yes, your behavior matters. It means the way that you conduct yourself, the way that you treat other people, the way that you talk, the way that you interact, the decisions that you make. It means, yes, you are a reality TV star to somebody.
Everybody,
even if you're a father sitting in an ICU with a premature baby that is your own son, and you're playing a guitar with no intent of becoming a viral video star.
When you feel,
because people are watching. People are watching. Paying attention. It's episode 4041. And yeah, this is Paul Anka again from a 2005 record, Rock Swings. It's REM's hit, Everybody Hurts. I told you, it's a great record. He has a terrific interpretation of a bunch of rock songs. My name is Randy Cantrell, coming to you from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Inside the Yellow Studio.
Yes, everybody hurts. And everybody. everybody cries. Everybody hurts sometimes.
I'm glad you're still here. If you have not joined the Facebook group, visit the website. Do it right now. LeaningTowardWisdom.com. Hit that Facebook group. It's up in the menu. Just tap that. That's all you got to do with your phone. You can do it. And all you got to do is knock on the door. I will let you in. It's a closed group. There's 50 people, give or take. Growing this thing steadily. That's good. I'm doing something rather unique. I'm introducing at least some of the people. I'm not going to promise that I'm going to do it to everybody, but I'm trying to kind of introduce people to the group, those people that are members. So I would happily let you in. And as long as you behave yourself, I'll let you stay there too. Kind of a cool thing. I never check. You know, podcasters are notorious creatures, it seems, for checking stats and checking reviews. I do neither. But I did happen to, I was checking the feed. I do that to make sure that the episode's released. And I went over there and I just thought, well, I'll just go look at the page and see if the art's showing up and all that stuff. Not a single review. It's kind of depressing, but you of course know that I started to say I don't care, but I do care. I care a little bit. I don't care a whole lot, but if you care to do that, I would greatly appreciate it. All right, let's kind of end on a high note, shall we? It's kind of hard, isn't it? I mean, when you read and you see this poor father and man alive, it just this hit me Thursday, I guess. It just, I don't know. I got really preoccupied with it for the longest, and you just feel horrible, don't you? But man, I'm glad I know. You know, I don't know this man, but I've got, my heart goes out to this guy, and I've got such an admiration for his ability to just play the guitar to his son. So at any rate, I'm going to play you a tune by a group called Trampled by Turtles. Well, come on. You got to smile just when you think about that group name. Now, if you've not heard of these guys, this is a bluegrass folk group from Duluth, Minnesota. Yeah, Duluth, Minnesota. You know, that ground zero for all great bluegrass. This is from a 2012 record entitled Stars and Satellites. And the song that I'm going to play you from that record, which, by the way, is available at iTunes, and yes, you absolutely should buy it, but I'm a bit of a bluegrass. Well, I like good bluegrass. I don't just like any kind of bluegrass, but these guys are very, very good. Trampled by Turtles, the record is Stars and Satellites, and I'm going to play you Keys to Paradise. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. And I will see you next time. Enjoy.
It's the secret of the winners. That's why I never got it. I come to find the savior in your eyes. All my frozen winters face the blame for the garden. At least I couldn't say fall apart at the softest setback of darkness.
dampen towers cry above to the highest lions of them all. Such a silent killer. Hold me close and tell me I'm alright. Up all night.